Blog Talk Radio.
This is Coach E on Coach Talk, a HME production.
You know, y'all, it's taken me a lot to get used to that we are connecting with one another Monday through Friday now from 7:30 to 8:30. So I'm so used to saying, welcome to this week's episode. But no, welcome to tonight's episode. Tonight, I have a very special guest on with me. We're going to talk about Your Mind Matters. Can you say hello to everyone and introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, good evening. I'm very excited to be here. My name is Antoinette Baker, and I'm a mental health professional.
Thank you so much, Ms. Baker, for being with me. And I really want to give a shout out to my uncle, James Lewis, because he connected us and made this thing happen tonight.
Yes, he was very instrumental. Yes.
Ms. Baker, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, and what really, you know, what qualifies you to be here with me talking about Your Mind Matters, mental health entrepreneurship? Just so I get
Well, thank you so very much. Like I said, once again, for being here, you're asking me the question, what qualifies me? So right off top, I'm going to have to be very honest and keep it very real for you. Why I'm here is because about 16 years ago, I had a battle with mental health and substance abuse. And it has been quite a journey. In the journey, as I began to get better and begin to heal, I had issues with trauma. I had issues with molestation. I had issues with anxiety, with depression. There were a host of plethora that comes into that addiction category. And so with that being said, I began to do the work on me. And as I began to do the work on me, what I found is that it began to inspire people around me, people who were just like me, people who were talking. And at that particular point, I decided to make it, to be honest, my first passion was cooking. I thought I was going to be a culinary chef. However, I had an opportunity to combine what I love with what I love, which was people and food, and it came from working at an at-risk population from the homeless shelter. And as I began to work, I began to qualify, certify, and begin to get educated. And that put me in the forefront of working with a diverse group from the very, very rich to the very, very poor in mental health services.
Wow. So I just want to say kudos to you. Congratulations. Like, man, when someone gets hooked on drugs or alcohol, it's most people don't get the testimony that you get to be able to say, I overcame. And I know it is a journey, but still, you know, getting to where you are 16 years later, that is a blessing that only the man up above can give to you or anyone for that, because those things are designed to take us right out of here. They're designed to destroy some of the best people that God has created and to be able to say I'm on the other side and not carry any shame. And we're going to talk about that word shame tonight because a lot of entrepreneurs carry shame, especially when we are finding that our businesses are not wanted to flow. When we're trying to impress others and not really focus what the things that God gave us to do. So, we're going to unpack that word tonight. And we're going to also unpack that word anxiety tonight, which and as well as depression. I think those are three words that we should kind of focus tonight, unless the Lord is telling you something else, and we'll go in that direction. But I think those are three hot buttons tonight that a lot of people are experiencing.
Yes. It's interesting that you would say that that would be the three words that we'll use, shame, anxiety. That's just so powerful, because those are the things, and depression, those are the things that keep us trapped. See, we don't feel to realize that when we start our businesses, right, there is something that we need to bring to the table. And believe it or not, it's our overall health, physical, emotional, spiritual, and emotional health. And so a lot of times, and mental. And when we don't address those, they begin to address us. And most oftentimes, they're going to come in places such as where we would not expect them, your business, right? So we have a individual who's launching a business. A lot of times we're looking for instant results. We're looking to be somewhere that we don't really give the business time to flourish. We're working, and, we get in those ruts. And because we're starting off as entrepreneurs, there's not really a lot of support for us on the mental health level. So, because most oftentimes when we're dealing with the fact that, let me just back up a little bit, because I want to touch with that depression. People don't even realize that depression doesn't necessarily mean that you don't get up in the morning, that you don't brush your teeth, that you don't move. You can be depressed, sweetie, and not even know that you're depressed. You can get depressed and be functioning, but the thing about it is that, what about the procrastination? You have deadlines to meet. You're becoming overwhelmed. So once you're in that embodiment of the moment, you don't even realize that you're not reaching out looking for where your help can come from, because most oftentimes as entrepreneurs, we try to be fully self-supportive. We don't get what we need. We don't get the nourishment that we need. And believe it or not, if we address our mental health, we can sustain the business. I know that as a business people, but.
No, and I want to stop right there, because I'll be fully transparent. That's one thing, my best friend is always saying, girl, you always put yourself out there. I don't care. If I can help somebody overcome something, I'll put it out there. I'm overcoming shame myself by saying, hey, I've been here. I understand what it means to be functioning and depressed all at the same time. People not understanding that behind you showing up in front of them cameras, you pushing into those doors, really inside you hate yourself. You hate your situation. You're questioning, why am I here? And, I've gone through a few counselors and probably need to get back in counseling now, but it's God, I can tell you. I woke up this morning and I was just like, Lord, I feel free. I feel free, and I haven't felt free like this in a very long time. I actually said, you know what? I remember one of the prophets at a previous church, she would say, Erica, you got to get up and do something different today. You got to get up. Every day you got to get up. And I remember like, okay, I'm up. Okay, I'll walk the dog. Okay, I'll do this. So it became this, okay, I'm just here. I'm pouring out to other people, but I'm here, But I didn't take care of myself. And now I wake up and I put on makeup. I make sure my hair is together. I make sure my clothes is together. And these are things that to some people it's like, really? But I'm telling you, I didn't do these things. It was like, I'll just show up. And however I show up, I show up. And if I feel too bad, make sure my lashes and my brows get done, because I don't want people to really see what's going on. But I just didn't like me. I had wore so much of everybody else's opinion. I was even crucifying myself, And so I brought that into my business. So I'm not, when you talk about hitting deadlines, oh, that's for the birds. I was always slowful. I was always slowful, always felt overwhelmed. honesty, I was like, Lord, I feel like an imposter, even though you said I'm qualified, even though a lot of information I lay before your throne to get. You are pouring out on me, and I'm giving it to others. I'm not eating it because I don't even feel qualified to be here. I just don't like who I am. And I say all of this because there are many that are using their business as a front, really block how they feel about themselves and don't want to have the hard conversations to say, I don't like you. I'm looking in the mirror. I don't like you.
That's what we call dressing up the outside. You understand me? We're talking about dressing up the outside so we can feel good on the inside, and it doesn't work that way. See, in order for that to happen, you have to do the inside job. You have to allow God to be who he is all by himself, and you have to truly trust in the process, and that takes time. You know, a lot of times when we go to God, we're looking for instant results. Like, he's an ATM. He is all of that and then some. However, we need to do the work. You understand? Like, there's some work that we need to do to get in the posture. You know what I mean? And a whole lot of times, we don't even realize that we're easing God out of the situation. And that is where our problem comes from. We should be leaning more on him, but we begin to lean less, you know, more on ourselves. And now we begin, now here come the problem. Because the problem is that we in and of ourselves don't have the abilities, but with God all by ourselves, we have all the abilities. We have all the power. But that doesn't sometimes, even though we know that, where our self-esteem is. You just talked about that. That low self-esteem, that low feeling of self-worth, you understand, is truly something that we need to be able to turn it over. We need to be able to surrender. We're not using words like that. Surrender and acceptance are key to anyone that is trying to operate in any type of business, because at the end of the day, your customer base is going to be able to feel you. That's how you get your business, is because they're ingratiating you. You are the face of your brand. And so if you're not the proper face or the true face of your brand, God is not going to bless that. I may be controversial. I'm not sure if I'm being controversial or however, but I know from my own experience, he's not blessed with nothing man ordained. But whenever it's God ordained, he got you.
Right. And it's so funny because I just was sharing with clients today. I said the very exact thing. So please, look, we're being candid on this line tonight, because my thing is, my job is Coach E. When I come to the platform to speak, you know, that this was one of the things I had to give over to God. At first, I thought a coach was all of what I was going to do, right? God gave me the vision to do the show. But Erica showed up because this, again, that self-esteem boy. People are going to like me. People are going to know that I'm qualified. But at the end of the day, I didn't realize that God had already qualified me when he called me. And he knew my mess. He knew everything about me. And he knew that who he called me to needed to see the transformation. They needed to see Erica at her lowest. Erica a mess. Erica making mistakes.
Absolutely.
Erica just nothing. To the point where Erica is starting to stand up and walk. Erica's now jogging. Oh, Lord, I'm running now. They need to see that, because they need to know that there is still hope. People out here that want to present the end deal, but don't want people to see the journey to get to where they are now. And so because of that, we've gotten lost. We've gotten lost. But I shared with a young lady today. I shared with her. I said, look, you are authentic, and God cannot bless anything that is not. So all you did was repeat what I shared with another young lady today. So this is confirmation to people. I wish she was on here. But this is confirmation that if you know, some people think they're at a ceiling in their business, or their business isn't moving further because they need more money or all of these things. But a lot of times it's because you're not mature enough in God. You're not mature enough in who you need to be for that season that you want to be in to embrace face it.
Absolutely. And, you know, let me just say this, you know, as a woman who, during the pandemic, I tried to operate my own business. And it was real tricky, right? Because the business ended up failing. However, I got the experience. See, sometimes we'll look at things that don't go right and not understand that that's a building block to the next part, right? How about without failure, there is no success? And if you don't try and move forward, and that's what we talk about. Let's go back to the mental health culture. Let's go back to the shame. Let's go back to the guilt. Let's go back to those things that will have you or hinder you in your process. Most oftentimes, how about the open-mindedness that needs to happen? What about that? Because like, when we're open to things, we're receptive. We can receive. If you're not thinking properly, if you're inundated or if you're over anxious, if you're depressed, if you're feeling shame, how are you going to be able to get open where you can really actually hear what God is saying to you? See, a lot of times I can do a lot of talking. I can do a lot of talking, praying, laying all the way in the ground. But what about my listening skills when he's trying to navigate me and point me in the right direction? But I'm so caught up in my own sick thinking that I can't hear him.
You know, I remember one morning I was in service, and the apostle that was covering me at that time, God used her to go around and prophesy to everyone. And it seemed like everybody was getting these yay words. And she got to me and she said, God said, you're stubborn. And I sat there and my heart dropped. And the first thing that tried to sit on me was shame. And then she said that she didn't want me to, that she I wouldn't take offense because she knew my spirit. She knew where Erica would go because of the trauma and the rejection and the abandonment that I was dealing with. And so at that moment, I had a moment that I made a decision that it was a quick decision that I'm not going to fold up. I'm going to hear your word, Father. I'm going to hear what you're speaking to me, even though it's cutting me, even though it's a offending part of me. It's okay because I've learned through other teachings that sometimes offense got to come for there to be a change in your behavior. And so it took me a moment. I had to sit with that thing when she said you were stubborn. And I said, well, God, so what, you don't like me? You don't went around the room and prophesied, had her prophesy blessings and all of this stuff, and then for me, you're stubborn. And I was like, that's I was hot, but not to the point where I was walk away. But literally, him and I started having a conversation. Another place,
right? But let me ask you this: how does God teach us as humans?
Mm-hmm. Say that one more time.
Okay, so my question to you was, how does God teach us? How do we, that he's given our own will, okay, how does he teach us? How does he bring us into submission? The answer is through our pain. Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, through your pain, you're going to stop and you're going to hear what he got to say because you're in pain. Right? And most oftentimes when we're in pain, we start seeing the parts of us that we weren't able to see.
Right. Right.
Right.
Because I was telling you, I didn't think I was stubborn. I really didn't think I was stubborn. But then when I started, when I researched what was, I wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Hold up. Whoa, wait, because now you see what he's trying to correct so that he can give you what you're due.
Absolutely. Look, we're going to pause for a commercial break, but I hope you all are getting some things from this, because I'm going to tell you, Cody is always one, and I'm always ready to learn and pull. And you, if you have any questions, you can call in. Our call-in number is 319-527-6075. You can call in, ask questions. We also are chatting. And if you're not comfortable with having those conversations today, that's fine. You can always email us at coachtalkshow@gmail.com, and I will definitely get your questions over to Ms. Baker, and she'll get right on back to you. But we're going to pause for a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Attention, small business owners. Boost your brand with me, Coach E, with radio advertising. Reach a wider audience and skyrocket your sales. Affordable packages are tailored just for you. Don't miss out on the opportunity to elevate your business. Contact me, Coach E, today at 410-845-1384 and let your business success story unfold on the airwaves. Your success, our priority. Coach E's radio ad space, where businesses thrive.
I'm Joanna Heister, President of Justice and Change for Victims of Nursing Facilities.
And I'm Tracy Pompey, Vice President. Nursing facility abuse and neglect is a tragic and common issue. Residents do not get proper care and suffer because of it.
If you think a loved one might be suffering from abuse and neglect, you have options. Call us at 804-839-1833 or 804-252-7973 or email jc4nfvictims@gmail.com.
Are you ready to make a move and sell your home? Meet your dedicated listing specialist at Exit Resource Realty. Here at Exit, we specialize in getting top dollar for your property. We offer a strategic marketing plan and expert negotiation. Reach out to one of our experts today at 804-509-5999 and allow Exit Resource Realty to get it sold.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to tonight's episode of Coach Talk. I'm your host, Coach E. And tonight we have with us Ms. Antoinette Baker. And we're talking about Your Mind Matters. That's right, Your Mind Matters. And there are three words that we are focusing on tonight. Those three words are shame, depression, and anxiety.
Anxiety. Yep.
Yes. So, you know, we talked about a lot about, I think we kind of been wrapping all of the three together, really. But let's kind of talk a little bit more about the anxiety a little bit. Can you, I mean, just for those that may say, well, I don't have anxiety or I don't really know what anxiety is, can you give us your definition of anxiety?
Well, I'll do my best. Anxiety is a condition in which someone finds themselves not at extreme discomfort in otherwise comfortable situations. Anxiety can appear as like when people get in like crowds. Let me give an example. My anxiety, it kicks up when I'm in crowds. I sweat, I become real anxious and nervous, I become uncomfortable. Most time I have to disengage from the crowd because I choose not to take medication. I tend to deal with it holistically. I have coping skills like breathing exercises and things of that nature that help me slow my mind down. And also, most oftentimes, people with anxiety, believe it or not, and I know I'm going to probably get this one, are very spiritual. Believe it or not, there are people that are empathic. I'm going to go with anxiety empath because they get so much stimulation that it overwhelms them. Yeah, it's so much coming at you that you don't have the coping skill to block what's coming at you. So it means that everything hits you all at once. And so when that happens, most people have an adverse reaction. Anxiety can cause people to shut down. Anxiety can cause people to, like, go and morph into other more severe forms of, like, claustrophobia and things of that nature. So, you know, anxiety, it can be very mild. and it can be very severe. It just depends on where you're at.
Wow. You know, I never heard anxiety that way in terms of, you know, from a spiritual place, receiving, and sometimes it can be much. You know, you don't process that. You know, sometimes you hear, you have to ask the Lord to expand you that you may receive. And now I'm hearing like, wait a minute, maybe God is saying, slow down. Because he's going to give us what we ask for.
Absolutely. But the thing about it is that, like I said, like these are conditions that happen where people don't even really realize that they're you know, what they're dealing with. Anxiety can do a lot of things. It can procrastinate. Some people get like over anxious and can shut down. Can't do anything. Nothing. Not productive. What does that happen? And what does that, you know, happen in business when you are an entrepreneur and you're the sole ownership and you haven't, and they can also result in panic attacks. It just depends on the individual. I'm just talking about it's a mental illness that can physically affect you.
Wow. And because mental health is a big thing with entrepreneurs right now. I know that they're looking into a lot of different statistics and things like that. And, you know, what do entrepreneurs really deal with, right? But I think corporate America had been, like, dealing with these issues a long time ago, you know, before entrepreneurship became the thing, right? Because now everybody wants that side hustle. Everybody wants that gig. Everybody wants to be their own boss. And so within that, everybody is starting to realize, oh boy, it's not everything that it was caught up to be. Now I have to not only manage my business affairs, but I have to manage my personal affairs, but I got to manage my business. And we kind of talked last night about that, you know, that if you're unstable in your personal, then of course you're going to be unstable in your business. There's just no way that you can be stable in one and not in the other.
But the thing about it is that anxiety, like, when it's at its height, it messes up your concentration. You know what I'm saying? It touches your decision making process. So that can be very detrimental for an entrepreneur with some untreated anxiety, because hear what it's saying: trouble concentrating, making decisions, feeling irritable and restless, and you know, like I said, it can go into a full blown panic attack, having hot palpitations and sweating and trembling and. Sometimes it affects people sleeping. So just imagine if I was, like, you know, starting my business and, you know, I'm trying to meet these deadlines, but I'm anxious already. Like, I'm already having the plethora of anxiety. What's going to happen is I'm going to actually, like, spiral out. And that spiral out, it can go any kind of way. You understand? It doesn't have – we pray that it will be positive, but most oftentimes it's going to be negative. You know, unfortunately, you know, how are you going to deal with when you can't concentrate on making decisions on your business and your money's on the line?
That's serious right there.
That's very serious. So when we talk about, like, these things in regards to business and you start really looking at the impact that it can have, how when you don't take care of yourself. You understand? And when you don't take care of your spiritual, your emotional, your mental, and your physical needs as a small entrepreneur, as a business person, it can be earth-shattering, because when these things come from your business, you know, something that doesn't happen so positive, then you're already in a state of anxiety. Listen to how that even sounds. That's already a recipe for what? Disaster.
Right. It really is.
We have an awesome God, right? And so what happens most of the time is that When we have an awesome God and we start getting some knowing of ourselves, we'll want to go talk to somebody about how we're feeling. Unfortunately, the stigma of mental illness is the last thing to actually go. And unfortunately, in our communities, it goes unaddressed because of the stigma. Mental illness is real. And I need to say that one more time. Mental illness is real. People are having real symptoms of a real condition. It is not imagined. It is happening to them. They are experiencing it. And I can't say how important and valuable it is to be able to, like, sometimes be an ear for those entrepreneurs. I think they need that the most, is just someone to listen and to help navigate them and to maybe some proper resources to help them deal with that. Now,
yeah,
most people are just going to say this, equate anxiety with worry. So in the spiritual realm, we would combat that with, like, well, if you worry, then you pray, because when you pray, you don't worry. You can pray and you're still worried because you suffer from a mental illness known as anxiety.
And, you know, that's the one that I don't think people talk about the most. I think we've talked about, you know, everybody wants to talk about depression, right? But we really don't talk about anxiety. And you are absolutely correct, especially in the African-American community. You know, you're labeled as crazy and all of these other things if you have some type of mental illness. You know, but if we go all the way back, you know, to the time when our ancestors were brought and over to this country, and how the amount of abuse that they suffered, and how mentally they were impacted, and how you're talking about generations later where things were untreated, unaddressed. You were ostracized because you had mental illnesses. You know, these things, they're not going anywhere. They're been around until we fully start addressing that and understand that we're not less than if we find that, okay, I have these issues, you know, I have this going on, I need help. Every illness doesn't require medicine. And I think that's the thing that we have to understand. It doesn't require medicine, but some do.
But here's the thing. It isn't necessarily just as I said to you. Like, there are many ways to deal with it. You could deal with it in a dietary. There's some very good things that are holistically wonderful to help you with anxiety. The thing about it is that knowing is half the battle. Once we know better, then we need to be able to do better. And the way that we do better, when we talk about honoring God, do you think God would want us to walk around and not take care of ourselves when he's given us everything to take care of ourselves? Huh? Do you ever worry about how a bird will go out here and not have to worry about a water or whatever he's going to eat? Because God provides. Why don't we have the same faith that whatever it is that we need, that he will provide for us just like he provides for anything else? That's where that's where the cornerstone of faith comes from. And it doesn't mean that we have to negate ourselves to get closer to God. God wants us to know some things. He's given us free will. And when he's given us to know, then that means that he's also given us charge to take care of. That is him. That is God being God. He's providing what we need to take care of ourselves.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, and I love how you said that. I got to watch the time because this is a good conversation. I think sometimes we put God in a box of provision when it comes to money, you know, but I think that's the lowest thing on the totem pole that God is concerned about, because a lot of times we ain't got money because we got some other issues going on. You're financially unstable because there's something else working in the backdrop that is being unaddressed. And, you know, as you spoke about tonight, anxiety could be that underlining thing. You're not focusing. You're not making good decisions. wounds, your traumas are finally coming to surface. You know, we done spent so many years trying to push them down and act like they didn't happen instead of being able to have someone there with you to simply confront them and say, it happened. It happened. It happened. You didn't deserve it, but it happened.
But it happened.
You know, that was one of the hard things for me, is to say it happened. You didn't deserve it. No matter if you told you were hard-headed, you shouldn't have went down that street. You were hard-headed, you shouldn't have went over to that person's house. It happened, Erica. It happened. Your hard-headedness did not dictate someone violating you. It did not dictate that.
That's right.
But because we push things down, because it's hard for us to address. It's hard for us to address when people have done us wrong, and then there comes that victim, right? Then that victim spirit rises, and then we try to tell people we're not victims, but we've submitted to that victim posture, because, and I know God is taking us somewhere else, and I'm just going to have to let him take us. We submitted to that victim posture, and so that even shows up. No one can talk to you. No one can correct you. You know, when God is, you know, I was taught that God is always speaking. He's always speaking. He never stops speaking to you. You gotta tune in, and you just gotta listen, right? So he's always speaking. But when you're not listening, that's when he starts to send other things, other people and other things your way to speak. And then even those things we tend to reject, because we, you know, he's coming down an alleyway in our heart and in our souls that, Lord, I didn't hit that for so long. Or maybe you just don't even understand what it is that you're hiding. It's just like, it's just there. This is just the belief that I bought into because X, Y, and Z happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this thing is, you know, I'm going to be quiet for a second. Let's talk, because I don't know. God is just taking us, and we're just going to go.
I just want to say to you that I just thank you for the opportunity, because it's just, I can't tell you how, you know, in my life, it took me to get it together on all cylinders. Like, I couldn't negate one for the other, but in my quest, you know, God was ever present. He was there even when I didn't even know he was there. He has been with me the whole time. You know, they have a parable, right? I want to just hit this one, right? You know, we talk about when Jesus, you know, had the disciples in the boat, and they were traveling, right? And Jesus had went to sleep in the boat, right? And yeah, okay, he took him a nap, he was tired, he did a whole lot of wonders and work, and he was tired. So he said, look, I'm going to take this little nap, okay? And I'm in the boat. Jesus is in the boat. The Son of Man is in the boat. God's Son is in the boat. And when he took a nap, right, for a few minutes, the water got rocky, you know, it got, you know, the storm was raging. They're like, Master, Master. And he's like, bruh, really? Did you just? I'm in the boat. There's nothing that can happen because I am here with you. How many times have we been in that very same situation? And he was right there. But because of where we were with our feelings, wait a minute, because of where we were with our emotions, wait a minute, we could not feel him or see him or know that he was present. That's where the anxiety, that's where the shame, that's where the depression will take you. He'll be right in the boat with you, but because of what you're going through, because of that storm, you cannot feel his presence. And on a whole lot of days when we talk about, I just need to feel, he's right there with you. What you need to do is turn around and acknowledge that he's there. God, you are here with me. I know you're here with me. I know that whatever is outside of this will not touch me. I got you. But if we can just recognize that, but if we have to move a lot of us out the way in order to be able to know that Jesus, the Son of Man, God, is in our boat. And he got us. And no matter what we suffer from, whatever storm that we go through, he's going to make a way to make it okay. Whatever your business is, he's going to bless you, but he will not until you can take some time to know who you are so you can know where he's at. I'm going to repeat that. So you can know what? Who you are so he can know where you're at. That part right there. He's right there in the boat.
You know, and you know, that's one of my favorite scriptures. I have a whole bunch of favorite scriptures, but that's just one of them. But look, I'm happy you went there because, oh, Lord, don't let me lose my voice. I done got all this. Like, oh, here it is, Holy Spirit, here it is. It ain't a feeling. God ain't about a here, the pastor that I was under a while ago, she said, Erica, it's not a feeling. Y'all, it's not about a feeling. And I understand that. You know, not too long ago, when God began to explain to me, it's your faith. What do you believe? And you can't comprehend me intellectually. What do you believe? Because you're not going to be able to explain. You can't explain me. You can't explain me. Mm-hmm. You gotta believe it. Either you grab.
You gotta believe me. That's right. Yes.
Jesus didn't have to explain to the man that was beside him on the cross. But I'm pretty sure the man knew. He knew something to acknowledge him. For him to acknowledge him. It won't about him having a whole bunch of anything. He acknowledged him. It was something in his heart that gravitated. He was revealed and he chose to believe. God is not a feeling. It's not a feeling. We get caught up because we want to jump and dance around everywhere. Oh, they done sung my song and I just fucked something. Well, we got to be careful what you're feeling. You're looking for something, and sometimes you're conjuring up stuff that ain't even God, because you want a feeling. And it took me a while to get it. You know, it's funny because I said to God this morning, I said, Lord, you put me under some powerful pastors, okay? Some real powerful pastors. I love them dearly. And they, look, my little stubborn, hard-headed, honey pots, they was there warming. I said, God, why did it take all of this time for me to finally get it? For me to finally start getting it?
Because it was your time. It was your time. And you were, and how about this? Because it was when you were open. You had to get open for your faith to get, you understand? So you can't go with woulda, coulda, shoulda. It happened right when it was supposed to because it was in God's time, not yours.
Amen. I receive that. I believe that. I do. Because I sit back. I'm like, Lord. I mean, times I'm walking out of services like, what just happened? Okay, or I had a feel, and then I was right back to doing some of the simple things. I do want to talk about this real quick.
Okay,
we got a few more minutes, but here's the other thing. You know, I'm using myself tonight, so no one has to feel any kind of way. You know, that's listening. They can go, okay, if they relate to Coach E, they relate to Coach E. But this is so that they can have their private time with the Lord and that. But I share with God. I said, God, you're in my life, and I'm excited. The Lord, what scares me is I only knew you in the difficult places. And I think sometimes What happens is we can't get past a certain place because that's where we know God at. And so we never get the full healing or the full encounter and experience of the healing, of the deliverance, because we can only process them in that painful place. And even though God will meet us in our pain, God doesn't intend for us to stay in our pain. And I think sometimes we stay in a place and we overdo to come out. But we can't even get there. And I think that's part of the anxiety coming up. I think that's that self-worth coming up. Mm-hmm. But I also think that it is I'm hearing that depression coming up, because depression is, you know, I'll let you talk about it in a little bit more depth as well into that. But I also believe that that's our faith not working the way it should. So I'm giving you a moment to kind of talk in that place.
In regards to depression, you know, here's what I will say, right? As I stated earlier, you know, when we deal with depression, it doesn't often come with a barrage of the regular symptoms that we're used to normally. Like I said, the, you know, staying in bed and you know, I personally was diagnosed with depression while I was actively working 3 jobs and opening a business. And I was going through where it came to pass was, believe it or not in none of that, it came because of a personal relationship that I was talking to with my doctor. And my doctor was like, "Ms. Baker, I think you might be depressed." And I'm looking at her like, you know, I was at my feet, probably looking better than I'm looking right now. And I was just blown away because I didn't feel down. I didn't feel like I wanted to go and play Purple Rain 17 times. You know what I mean? I didn't feel like I wanted to hear some of the blues or what, you know what I mean? Because, you know, sometimes when you feel it in that place, you want to just add some more misery to it. But what I'll say is that misery is optional, right? And what I'm going to talk about is like, in the manner in which you're presenting depression, and also in with business, it's something that's so subtle that you might miss it. I won't say that that faith, being devoid of faith, equals depression. But what I will say is that on a whole lot of days when we don't listen to ourselves, to our bodies, and to our own spirits, and when we don't allow, you know, I'm not going to say at that time I didn't have God, like he wasn't a part of my process, because that's not true. You know, I think my faith was even higher, even more elevated. But it didn't stop the diagnosis, but I did have to do some things differently, even in regards to the way I worship, even to the way that I even postured myself with God, I had to come a whole different way. Because there was a problem that I didn't understand, and I needed his guidance. And so how about through his guidance, that's what led me to the doctor. Through his guidance, it's what led me to have these conversations about holistically taking care of your mental health and taking care of it via medication, and also being conscious of, like, exercising, things that we don't like to do, changing my diet, and having a lot more water, less sugar, all of those things that we do, fried chicken, sometimes removing the fried foods. Like, people don't understand that a lot of the stuff that we intake has a direct bearing on our emotional and mental health.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny. You know, he loves to just do these little plug-ins. It's funny because one of my struggles was Pepsi. And,
girl, say it again. I'm 4 weeks clean from Pepsi.
I hope to
say
be saying
again.
That too. Okay.
So I'm telling you.
It was Okay. And it was my thing. Okay. And so since God and I have been, I've been coming up different and more open with him, you know, one of the things I've implemented is going to the gym. I have been implementing more water in my diet because these things I am constantly hearing. And remember I said earlier in the show, I felt so freer. And so here's the thing. There, study his scripture, take time. Now I can tell the difference. When I'm not with him, I can tell how my day is about to go. So he learned that he already has a lifestyle set up for you. It was already designed specifically for you. So that is that we don't stick with him long enough that this is how he intends for us to take care of our bodies. You know, he is going to say that your body is my is your temple and that he dwells within it to not tell you how to maintain where he dwells.
Sure.
You have to know how to maintain where he is present. And it's not just because I show up every Sunday at church and I got my hand raised. You know, the word of the Lord says he wants to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. God is telling us in spirit and in truth. And a lot of times we are not in spirit, nor are we in truth. And it's not our truth that he's talking about. It's his truth.
That part.
It's his spirit. So if you have no connection, none whatsoever to the Father, and you're showing up at church because you want to feel or that's the thing, you're missing so much. Because there's so much he wants to really pour out on you. He wants to show you how to have life. You know, Christ said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Well, in order to have a good living, you got to understand Christ. You got to watch Christ. How did Christ move in the earth? How did Christ live? Because God himself came in the form of man as Christ to show us how to do it.
I mean, absolutely.
That was the love right there. That was the loving power right there.
Yes. Absolutely. And, you know, I agree with you 100%. And that's God's word, you know, and we just stand on his word. That's it. And that's we just all that, you know, it takes you a minute, you know, because, I mean, I've been in the church since a young girl. You know what I mean? And I've been in and out. I'm not even going to sit up here and play no games. But I'm talking about the revolution that took place in my life was just such as the revolution of Christ, because he was a revolutionary. If you really watch the way he walked, he was revolutionary. He was doing his thing. But he was making some, look at what, he didn't mess with the rich people. He was down there with where? With those that were sick, with those that wasn't able. That was revolutionary back then. He wasn't staying away from those that had, you understand, catastrophic disease. That was revolutionary right there. He was under the Son of Man, the bread of life, however you wanted, the Alpha and Omega. He was all of that, but the way he walked was so humbly. And no matter what came against him, he didn't raise up. Because you know what? He was too focused on his primary purpose, on his assignment, which was to allow us to have a place in heaven with the Father above. And the only way that he could do that was to sacrifice his Son. We're talking about, what about if we were sacrificing some of the things that he sacrificed here on earth? Would we find heaven here on earth? Probably we would, right? Because believe it or not, the place that he really wanted to dwell is in our temple. The place that he really wants to reside in, and he don't want no pesticides, he don't want no cigarette smoke, he don't want nothing but just the pure you. But it takes us a moment to get to the place where we are operating on all cylinders with the God that we serve. And yes, it's going to impact our families. It's going to impact our business. It's going to impact everything until we get down to some real honesty about who we are in our nature, in our natural form as human beings, right? And understand that he is the Almighty and we are humble, but he gave us a lot of information to work with. And if we apply and not just look for the feeling. You know, we just want the feeling from church and then after that, you know. But the spiritual feeling is a continuation. It doesn't just stop when you leave church. It's when you hug and embrace somebody that you haven't seen before. It's when you give of yourself with someone who would not even think that they were worthy of your time. Those are the things that when we give of ourselves, our services to each other. That's where the love, that's where the care, that's where it all is right there. That's where we tackle the anxiety. That's where we tackle the shame. And that's where we tackle the depression. It's when we come together and support each other and love on each other as brothers and sisters, as he asked us to do.
Amen. Look, I am so upset because we're at the end of the show.
Oh.
I know.
I thank you. You know, I really enjoy being here, and I just think it's a great honor just to have had this conversation with you. And, you know, I just am grateful for what God has given me, which is my life, my whole entire life. And he gave it to me in a way where you can't even wrap your mind around the goodness of the Lord.
Amen. I know that we hit so much tonight. And I know for some, it's like, oh, my God, he beat me all up. I know they say you stuff all over my toes. But look, if we did good, that means that you're awake and you're hearing. It's that if there's something you would like to hear with those that have heard tonight's show and they may need to hear something that can take them to the next place.
Well, anyone that heard tonight's show tonight, I pray that they can take away that first of all, easy does it, and that you can do it, that God loves each and every one of us in our whole natural form, but we need to give a lot more of our time to really understanding and being able to apply the spiritual principles that he's left on this earth for us. And once we do that, there'll be a greater connection, and we'll have more love and less hate for each other and for ourselves. And that I'll close on.
And if you're finding after this show that you are suffering from depression or anxiety, or maybe you're recognizing that something is a little bit not all the way together mentally or emotionally for you, please contact your local mental health department so that they can assist you with some services and some resources, or contact your insurance company. They do have places or practices that you can reach out to. You do not have to do this by yourself. God created us all to need one another. He did not create us to be on an island by ourselves. When you are by yourself, you are a target for the enemy to keep working. You are a target for your life to just continue to spiral down, right? Some things are just not the enemy. Some things are just, you know, things that are going on mentally, right, that have nothing to do with the enemy. It could be a chemical imbalance. It could be all kinds of things. But tonight, our desire for you, our prayer for you, our request of you is if you see or if you notice that something is not functioning properly for you, reach out for help. You do not have to do it by yourself. And God is still loving you, and he still has purposed you for something. He did not create you without purpose and destiny in mind. So no matter what it is that you're facing, know that it does not disqualify you for your call. This is Coach E. I love you all so much, and you all have a blessed night, and I will talk to you tomorrow night on Coach Talk at 7:30, same time, same bat channel. Night.